You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Our spiritual disciplines should be sincere, not hypocritical nor mechanical. Learn more about spiritual disciplines in week 9 of our series, Redefined.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our 3 p.m. service. Why don't you give a high five to the person seated next to you and tell them that I'm so glad to be here today. I hope you mean it. By the way, my name is John. I'm your incoming campus missionary. And, you know, I'm just so glad that I get this opportunity to share to you God's Word. All right, now, as we start, just a recap, we've been talking about the series called Redefine. And in this series, we've learned that Jesus have been redefining how we ought to live our Christian life or how we view Christianity. So who among you here were here for the past 8 weeks, present 8 weeks? And we've learned a lot in this series. I hope so. Are you learning a lot? Is this helping you? Come on. Now, the things that we've learned in this series, redefined when Jesus came and started redefining about Christianity, that Christianity is more than a religion and it is an active relationship with God. Aside from a relationship with God, Jesus also started saying that we are in a kingdom. We are now planted, adopted in a kingdom, and God is our King. Jesus started doing that. Now, as we've been going through this series, we've been looking into the laws of Moses and how Jesus is redefining them. Who among you can honestly say, kayang-kaya ko mag-obey sa law? Or who among you is seated next to a person who perfectly obeyed the Ten Commandments? Okay? Ayan. Honestly, none of us can basically obey perfectly the law. And here's a funny thing. The Ten Commandments has been redefined by Christ to a higher level. When the law says, do not murder, Jesus started saying that if you have hatred for your brothers, you have already committed murder. Wow. Galisod na ganita sa Ten Commandments. Here comes Jesus starting to redefine the law, elevating it to the highest level, trying to point it all out that whether the law of Moses or the standard of God, none of us can actually comply to it. Sad, right? If I will end now and then pray for you, I'm pretty sure all of us would walk down this center feeling bad na. What's the whole point then of following Jesus when all these laws, all these rules, all these commandments, I can't even match up to it. But here's the good news, and we've learned this throughout the series, that we are already justified. Yes, it will be hard for us to comply the standard of Christ, but we are justified. You and I are made right with God through the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross. We are already made okay. When God looks at you right now, siguro you've done something bad before coming here. When God looks at you, He's looking at you like approving you. Great job. Okay pa rin ta. Why? Not because of our good works or our effort, but because of what Jesus has already done for us. We are already okay, we are already loved, and we are already accepted because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we've learned that throughout the series. That is why in this series, we are looking at another level of relationship with Jesus. Now that we are in relationship with Jesus, now that we are a new creation in Christ, there is something we need to do, and that is our new life in Christ, walking it out. You know, how many of you here are happily married couples? You know, diba? When you were single, there are a lot of things you can do. Tama. And then when you got married, a lot of things have changed as well, right? For example, it would be easier for you to hang around with your barkada. Now that you're married, you can't do that anymore. It's easy for you to watch movie even if the movie is worth 300 pesos. But now, hindi na. Kasi you have to consider that duhana mo. It's like 600 pesos now. Things have changed in the same way. If you understand that you are in a relationship with God, yes, God loves you the way you are, but God loves you so much that He doesn't want you to stay where you are. That's why God is inviting us to follow Him. And in the process of following Him, we become more like Him. And that's what we're going to learn today. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, open it up to Matthew 6, 1 to 8, and then we will jump to 16 to 18. It says here, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do it in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." And jump to 16. "And when you fast," talking about fasting, "do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you."
Christian girl that loves taking photos of her devotions? Do you spend hours framing the perfect picture without the payoff of people noticing how spiritual you are on the internet? Introducing Christian Girl Instagram, 101 tips and tricks to get more likes on your devotional photos.
Hi, I'm John Christ with Christian Girl Instagram. Do you struggle to get likes on those devotional Instagram photos? Hashtag the struggle is real.
From the best-selling author of Shameless Workout Selfies comes Christian Girl Instagram.
I would always get totes stressed out trying to decide which Bible verse to show. Not anymore.
Okay, you're always going to want to stay away from common verses like Jeremiah 29:11 or John 3:16.
No matter what verse you choose, you always want to make sure you highlight multiple verses with multiple colors.
Because after all, what's the point of having devotions if no one knows about it?
I used to spend 5 minutes reading the Bible, and then like 30 minutes trying to figure out a hashtag. Then I found Christian Girl Instagram.
My book includes over 1,000 hashtag suggestions like Coffee with Colossians, Bliss, Serenity, Much Needed, and of course, hashtag Blessed.
Buy Christian Girl Instagram today and we'll include our 31-piece package of options to put in the background of your photo. Things like a candle, a Precious Moments doll, a subscription to Relevant Magazine, kale chips, and of course, a coffee cup with a Bible verse on it.
Thanks to inspiration from Christian Girl Instagram, I took down my Marilyn Monroe poster and replaced it with footprints in the sand.
So clear off what's really on your desk and replace it with new products from Christian Girl Instagram.
Christian Girl Instagram now includes bonus tips like if you're gonna include your hand in the photo, always wear a purity ring. And if you're gonna include additional reading material in the background of your photo, always avoid extremes. We don't want people to think you're too prosperity driven by maybe having some Joel Osteen, yet we don't want people to worry about your theology by having some Rob Bell or Mark Driscoll, okay? You wanna stay right in the middle, maybe some Joyce Meyer, some Beth Moore would be perfect. And remember, anything leather bound is really gonna pop with that Valencia Instagram filter.
Christian Girl Instagram is great. My devotions are now constantly being interrupted by people liking my post.
Buy now, and I'll also include my additional book, Announcing Your Social Media Fast. Tips and tricks for effectively telling people you're fasting while ignoring all of Jesus' teachings about telling people you're fasting.
Christian Girl Instagram can be yours today. This book and so much more available to you, all for the cost of less than a pair of yoga pants.
I don't always do devotions. But when I do?
Ayan. All right. But there's more. If you call now, you will get. Joke lang. Diba? Ako mga you can relate to that. In this current time, a lot of people are so caught up with their social media. They're so caught up with what you post on social media and all that. You know, the video that we just saw a while ago may sound, look funny, but that's just the reality of the world we're living in right now. And today we're going to talk about practices that Christians ought to practice daily. And we're talking about spiritual discipline. Now, if you're wondering what is spiritual discipline is simply important because it makes us more like Christ. The goal of us praying, the goal of us meditating, the goal of us fasting, giving, and doing all these good works is for us to be more like Christ. It's not our goal to be more like Pastor Archie or the leaders that you know here on church, but our goal here is all of us will be more like Christ and be more aware of God's presence and will in our lives. Who among you here are interested to know what God's will is for you? Who among you here wants to live a life that you are secure that this is God's will for you? You know, it would be a messy world when you try to do everything and you realize that it's not actually what you need or what you want. That's why developing spiritual discipline will benefit us to be sharper to what God is leading us. If we want to grow in our relationship with God, we need to practice spiritual discipline. Now, as I go back to the verse that we just read a while ago, there are just things that makes me like, wow. When I was preparing it, imagine this. Matthew 5, we're talking about Jesus choosing the disciples. And prior to Matthew 6, he was talking about the disciples being the salt and light into the world and all that. And he was even saying that the righteousness of the Pharisees are so high. But then again, he started opening up in Matthew 6 with this word, beware. Who among you here, you've been warned already? Diba? When you are warned or when you are told, it usually is followed by something that is bad, right? So when you say, ayaw ato dito kay naay pang-pang, mahulog ka. Or don't get into the house right there because there's a dog. The dog will just bite you. Warning, huwag tumawid, nakakamatay. Or warning, coffee too hot. The next thing will always be a bad thing. But in this scripture, aren't you surprised that when Jesus said warning or beware, the following things are not actually bad things. Praying, fasting, giving. Do you think these are bad things? I don't think so. We are even as a church encouraging all of us to do this. Who among you here, one time in your life, you went to church and then your friend said na, Bes, asa ka? Church, amping. Di ba? Or who among you here have been asked by a friend, where are you going? I'll go to my victory group. Ah, okay. Beware. Huh? Or you're reading your Bible and a friend of yours saw you like, what are you doing? I'm reading my Bible. Ingat ka, huh? Diba? Have you experienced that? Have you tried that before? I don't think so, right? But here Jesus is saying, beware. Beware of what? Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. Now, I just want to establish some misconception about this verse before I move on. Because you might be thinking na, wait. It says here, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. So meaning, do I need to do this in secret? Like for example, imagine this with me, ushers. Who among your ushers here and proud ushers in the house? I mean, you're here simply because you want to honor God by serving other people. But it says here, beware of practicing your righteousness. Beware of your honoring to God through ushering ministry before other people, so that they will not see you. So how are they going to do that? Ate, welcome. Okay lang po. Huh? Or when you give, do you really have to hide? Or when you preach, you don't have to know me. This is God's word for you. You don't have to, right? There's a lot of misconception in this word if we don't take this the right way. We might take it to a different aspect or a different side. But what Jesus is trying to say when he said beware, he was trying to say beware of practicing in your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by others. In other words, there is a purpose, motives behind what they are doing. Jesus was talking about the Pharisees. Here are the Pharisees who've obeyed the law, They have obeyed 248 commandments and 365 restrictions within the expanded Jewish law. This is how righteous these people are. And yet Jesus is telling the people, beware. Beware to be just like them. Beware that when you do it, you will end up doing it like them. And what is their purpose? So that to be seen by them. Just like performance on stage. Your goal is to be seen. That's why you act it out. And you know what? When Jesus said, beware, he wasn't pertaining to the things that we are doing, but he was pertaining to the heart, why we're doing what we're doing. Why? Because Jesus knew for a fact that as man, as human beings, it would be easy for us to easily get entangled with our doing right, but having the wrong heart. Because you know what? The Pharisees were so into God-centered activities. But the sad reality is, it became a man-pleasing performance. And Jesus knew it for a fact. Jesus knew it back then, that our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts are filthy in its own. That yes, we do the right thing, but who among you can honestly say that sometimes the right thing that we do is hidden with the wrong motive? That's why it's very important. Sometimes it's easy for us to look like we're okay, to perform religious feats, to act as if we are pious people. But the truth is, we live a contradictory life. Sometimes we can be the best volunteer in church. Back then, when I was a student, I was so into the ministry. I was so into all the ministry that there is. If I can be usher, pwede. If I can be a tech ministry, pwede. If I can be part of the music team, pwede. I would join all the ministry there is as long as I have time. And I would jump into it. But you know what? I wasn't a blessing in my home. Yes, I was so excellent in how I serve people in church, but I was the worst servant in my house. And a lot of us can relate to it, that we are so good publicly when people look at us. When people look at us, we can memorize verses. Or when people ask us, how are you? We have this Christianish language that we tell them. How are you? Hallelujah, kapatid. Praise the Lord. Buhay si Lord. You know, sometimes we act so good. We act so okay. We look so religious. But honestly, sometimes we easily look religious publicly, but internally we are disobedient. You know, the truth of the matter is when Pastor Archie gave me the opportunity to preach this Sunday, I was hesitant to say yes right there and then, though I know I want to, because I want to experience how it is to have a limited time to prepare and see how God can move in my preparation. But the reason why I was hesitant, because on the other side of my heart is saying, you know what, John? Kaya mo yan eh. Galing ka rin eh. Parang, I don't want to say yes simply because I am good at what I am doing. But I want to say yes because I want to honor God with what I'm doing. And the truth of the matter here is that we can be all like that. We can all come here to church, give our tithes and offering and tell God, I'm okay. But how about your gossiping? How about your pornographic addiction? How about your hatred towards your brothers? Sometimes we pretend to be okay. We put an image that we are okay. And that's what the Pharisees were doing. We do the right thing for the wrong reason. And that's what this is all about. It's not how you should do what you need to do, but it's about the heart issue. Because if the heart inside is not right, then God will never be pleased with anything that you do that is right. And you know what? God has a word. Jesus has a word for these kinds of people. People who do the right thing for the wrong reason. And these people are called hypocrites. In Matthew 6:1, it says here, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. It's basically the heart issue. It's basically the very heart of the person doing it. It's them being hypocrite. They perform this, but their hearts is far away from God. Jesus even said that they worship me with their mouth, but their heart is away from me. You see, a lot of times we easily get focused on public opinion. What people looks at us or what people thinks of us. Ah, nasa victory ako. So probably they want me to perform well in school. Or nasa victory kasi ako eh. So I need to be religious. Kasi people in victory are religious. So I have to delete all those pictures na hindi religious. I have to post every day. Scheduled yan at 10 in the morning when people are awake and people are starting liking posts. Diba, sometimes you're so caught up with our public image. We try to do all these good things for what reason? For public opinion. For public approval. For public attention. The sad reality is that at this age and time, we care more about what the public has to say about us. And we care less about what God has to say about us. We so easily allow media to shape the way we live our life, to shape the way how we relate with God. Why? Because we want to please the public. It's all about the public. It's all about funfair. It's all about when we serve, we want everyone to see, I'm the best usher there is. Okay, that's good. Pero, for what reason? Why are you doing what you're doing? If it is for your own intention, and if it is for your personal gain, I tell you, you are at a worse position. Better not serve. The scariest part of us being Christians and believers is when we do everything in our power. Let's say we want to live a life of 85 years, and you put that 85 years in this hand or in this fist. 85 long years, and you've lived a faithful life, serving God, giving everything, doing charity work, doing fasting, doing prayer, and all that. You obeyed the law so perfectly, and you put it here, all your effort. And when death confronts you, you're so excited because you're so sure that you're going to meet God. You're going to spend your eternity with God because it's all here. And when you meet God, God asks you, oh, you're here na pala. God, I'm here na. Oh, what do you have there? Eto, God. Yabang mo pa, no? Pak, abo, or dust. That would be the scariest part of our life. It would be so scary that all our effort points us to nothing. Why? What happened along the way? Simple. We miss out the heart why we're doing what we're doing. It has become a routinary work. Sometimes, you know, when we are new Christian, we're so excited, we're so fired up to honor God, read our Bible, make disciples. But along the way, we get tired of doing what we're doing. And sometimes, even when we're tired, we still put up an image. Day, okay ako, Christian kasi ako eh. So I have to read more my Bible, I have to do this and do that. Sometimes we put an image so that people will not question your identity as a Christian. Does anyone have asked you already, Christian ka pala? Sakit, di ba? I've been asked a lot of times when I was a student. Kasi there was this story na we were having meeting and I'm the type of person who's noisy when we are in meetings and all that. And one time we were having meeting and this friend of mine knew that I was a leader in church and all that. And then she paused for a while and then she just asked me na, John, di ba victory ka? Di ba Christian ka? Oh, what's the problem? Wala ra. But her face was like, there's something wrong with what I'm doing. Ngano di ay? And she started pulling her books, embracing it, and she said, di ba Christians kaing anira? Huh? Where did you get that? No, that's not how Christians live. Christians are actually the most interesting people in the earth because they know how to have fun. Because their joy is not based on events, but their joy is based on what Jesus has already done for us. You see, we're so caught up with trying to please the public. And you know what Jesus said to the people listening to him? Guys, talking about the hypocrites, they have received their reward in full. What is the reward? So may reward pala. When you do it out of the right motive, may reward ka. If you're aiming for public attention, yun yung reward mo. Your reward is the good job. Kasi people saw you, great, galing mo naman na usher. Or it could be a like on Facebook, or heart on Instagram, or a share on Instagram, or your vlog. Most of the time, you know, in this current generation, we're so caught up of the image that we put in public. But allow me to share this. Never let people who know you the least tell you who you are the most. Because that would be so scary. You try to live a life that isn't yours simply because you just want to please the people that doesn't even know you. Kumbaga, imong feed sa Instagram kay wow, pang millionaire. Well, I'm not against that, okay? Kasi I'm an Instagram user. I mean, there's nothing wrong about it. But sometimes we're just so caught up in the idea of living a life that isn't ours. To the point na we stress ourselves trying to be someone we're not. And again, do not let people dictate who you are, especially those people who don't even know who you are in Christ. Because we highly value what the public has to say about our standing, we become man-pleaser. Why do we easily become man-pleaser? What's the issue behind all of this? Why at some point in our life, we were so right in doing right, but along the way, why is it so easy for us to get entangled with the things that we're doing right, become something of unselfish ambition? Why? Because in our core, we are insecure. That's the reality. We are insecure people. That's why we need the approval of the public. We need the praises, the thumbs up of our leaders. When we do right, we want people to see it. Why? Because the truth of the matter is, we're hungry for it. We're hungry for the approval. We're hungry for the acceptance of people. You see, doing all this spiritual discipline, it's really not wrong to do it. In fact, we're encouraging you to do it. We do fasting twice a year, every January and every July, mid-year prayer and fasting. You know, we come together and believe God for greater things individually and as a church. And we want to invite you to be part of that. Also, we give. We give to Real Life Foundation. That's why we have Real Life Foundation. If you don't know what's Real Life Foundation, you can actually search that on the internet. We are helping students having a hard time financially. We have real life scholars and we're helping them. We also have devotions and all. But what makes the things we do right all go wrong? Because our action should be matched with the right motivation. Whatever you do, it should be backed up with the right motivation. When you join a ministry, it should be backed up with the right motivation. When we do things for God, I hope it is truly for God. You see, we are so caught up in the idea of making a big impact in this world. If you're a student here, you know this tagline very well. And it is our heartbeat. Change the campus, change the world. You know, if you've been with us, our heartbeat has always been to raise up leaders, not only make a difference, an impact locally, but we want them to send back to their homes, back to their nation, and make a global impact. Yes, that is our heartbeat. But you know what? Allow me to say my heart into this area. We're so caught up about making big things for God. But how about the little things by starting to obey God in honoring your parents? How about those little things when saying no, when your friends is tempting you to watch pornography with them? What about those little things that you do for God that is not sin in public? Can you? Sometimes we magnify this stage as a standard that if you can preach here, you are a good leader. Can you not be a good leader when you scrub the floor? Can you not be a great leader when you serve people through ushering? Talking about us making great impact, I remember back then, before you can actually go here on stage and be part of the music team, if you are familiar with Tavern, you know the place, how smelly the place is, and how small. Before you can go up on stage, sing, and lead worship, we are challenging everyone to first serve God, not on stage, but down the stage. Serve people through ushering ministry to the point that if you don't know how to clean the CR, what reason do you have to stand here on stage and lead people to worship? If you cannot serve at the lowest, then why serve at the highest? It starts first at the bottom. Again, it's all about the heart. Why do we do that? Why did we allow people to go through that process back then? Because as a church, we value leaders. Not just leaders who can preach, not just leaders who can do things on stage, but we want leaders to rise up, leaders who are capable to serve. Just like Jesus who served us, we also want to raise leaders who serves. The issue has nothing to do with what we're doing or the practice or how we do things. But the issue, it's always been the motive of the heart. Our actions should be matched up with the right motives. Truth is, those hypocrites have received their reward in full. And guess what? They have received public recognition. The good job, the thumbs up, the applause, and all that. But guess what? All of those things are just temporary. When they die, when we die, will we be remembered by the things we do in performance for others to see? These are all temporary rewards that we get when we do the spiritual discipline out of our desire to be seen as great people. In this chapter, they have received their reward in full, and that is their public approval. You see, when you read the scripture, when you read Matthew 6, there are words that has been highlighted. When you highlight a word today, you use your highlighter or you underline them, right? Or sometimes you rewrite them on another piece of paper kasi it's making sense to you, right? But in the Bible, you will know that a word is emphasized or important when it has been repeated a lot of times. For example, Matthew 6, it says here, so that your giving may be done, may be in secret. Your Father sees it in secret. In prayer, it says here, you pray to your Father who is in secret and who sees it in secret. And it says here, when you talk about fasting, your Father who sees it in secret will reward you. You see, when you give, do it in secret. You don't have to let your right arm know what the left hand is doing. Do it in secret. In prayer, do it in secret. In fasting, do it in secret. Again, I don't want you to embrace the misconception na, so paano yung public prayer? We do public prayer. But what I'm trying to say here is that there are things that are done in secret, and there is power in secret. You don't have to let the world know what you're actually going through right now. Have you seen your friends, you know, posting rants on Facebook and a lot of people are liking it, praying for you? Honestly, are they praying for those things? Sometimes we let the world know and the world doesn't even care about it. You see, when you do things in secret, the word that has been highlighted in those scriptures is the word secret. You see, there is power when we do things in secret, when it's only between you and God. Your hurts, your brokenness, your pain, you don't have to parade that to the world. When no one sees the things that you're doing, when no one sees that you're picking those trashes to make the place look even better, you don't have to tell people na ako naglinis niyan. Because God sees that in secret and you will get a reward in secret. I have this planner with me. And the truth of the matter here is that I won't be where I am right now, standing here confidently preaching this word, if not for the secret things I've been writing here in my relationship with God. You don't know the secret things people do for them to be where they are right now. Sometimes, especially if you have big friends who wants to get slim down, they post the things that they eat and all that, but when you meet them, parang healthy lifestyle, it doesn't match up. You get me, right? I mean, there are things that can be done in public, but again, it's the issue of the heart. I'm not saying you do your victory group, dapat magtago ta, kasi mag-victory group ta, so mangita tag secret place. Or when you pray, you can pray in public. Again, the motive of the heart. Is it for public approval, or is it because you want to honor God? But what I'm trying to say here is that I hope and pray that we will be people who will value our secret time with God. Because only in that secret moment, God can reveal Himself differently when He reveals Himself publicly. There are things I know of God that I can only keep it to myself. And I believe in the same way, when you put God first and you prioritize that secret moment, I believe God will reveal Himself differently. The question I want to leave all of us is, are we willing to trade the opportunity to experience an intimate and thriving relationship with God for temporary public approval? You see, the reward of the hypocrites, they got their public approval. People applauded them. And after their performance, everyone goes. But what about us? If you are doing it the right way, not to please people, not to please your leader, not to please anyone, but if you're doing it to simply please one audience, and that is God. And guess what? What do you get? It's a growing, intimate relationship with God. Another thing that has been highlighted in the scripture is the word Father. And you see, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus started redefining the law, our relationship with God. And here, we get to understand that in 6, 7, and 8, the word Father has been repeated more than 10 times, if I'm not mistaken. And guess what? In this instance, where we give, where we pray, where we fast, the word Father has been repeated 7 times. So 7 times out of the 10 times will be seen in this particular passage. You see here, Father, 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 do not be like them, for your Father, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father. What's the whole point when Jesus was trying to say this? Jesus understands that spiritual discipline is powerful because it is done in the context of relationship. Our reward when we do things the right motive is we grow intimately in our relationship with God. Because if you do it just for the public approval, I tell you, it will just only last you for a few days. But if you do it out of your relationship with God, then it will lead you to grow in your relationship with God. Jesus knew it so much that He understand that when we do spiritual discipline, it will be powerful because it will be done in secret. Our spiritual disciplines are meant to build our relationship with God, not our reputation. And as I end, while talking about this relationship and all that, what we get out of us embracing spiritual discipline is a thriving relationship with our Heavenly Father, who is unseen to us, who is in secret. But why is it so hard for us sometimes to focus on God with our motives? Why is it sometimes that it's hard for us to trust God with the things that we do? Why is it that it's hard for us to fix our eyes on what Jesus is saying here, that we are doing it to grow in our relationship with our Father? Because the second issue is that we have trust issue. Because we cannot trust God. We're having a hard time trusting Him. We're having a hard time believing in Him that, do you even really care what's happening with my family? Do you truly even care with what's happening with my life at the moment? We have that issue of trust. We have an issue of insecurity. That's why we enjoy the approval of the public, the praises of the people. And we also have the issue of trust. You see, I won't be willing to trade my intimate, secret moment with God for the approval of the public. Why? Because it's just going to last me for days. But the secrets that I have written here has lasted me for years. Again, like I said, I won't be standing here if not for those secret moments I had with God. Of course, I will not be telling you all of them. Kasi MMK na ang mahitabuan na. It will be a full-length movie. But what I'm trying to say here is that the things you do in secret and seen by God in secret, God has reward for you in public. Allow God to reveal the things that you're doing. You don't have to tell people that, you know what, ako nag-disciple niyan, ako nag-minister sa kanya, ay grabe ako nag-preach, ako usher ako. But rather allow what you do for God be a platform for you to grow in your relationship with God. Now going back to verse 1, it says, beware. Why is Jesus warning us about these things that's about to happen if we do it the wrong way? Two paths that will lead us. That we will probably end our lives doing the right thing to credit the righteousness position that we have in God. Kasi why? Probably some of us are not yet sure if God looks at you righteous. You look at your past and you say, how can I be righteous? John, you're saying that I am righteous? How can that be possible? I don't think so. With all the mess I've been to, how can I be righteous? That's why you come here with that mindset, I'll never be righteous, but at least I can pay it. If that's your mindset, then I'm sorry to say, that's not how it is to be righteous. For you to come here, pay your tithes and offering, I'm done for the week. And then you continue living on that sinful life you have. Or probably you are not that person. Probably you are the kind of person who's living the right life. That is, you are reading your Bible, doing victory group. But sometimes we stand in a position of our righteousness and we use our position to look down on other people. We look at ourselves better than those who are not in church right now. Ako nag-church ako ng 3 p.m. Ikaw, nag-church ka ba? Ay, hindi. Hala ka. We can be these two people. We can be a person whose righteousness is based on what we do. That's why you're serving. Kasi you want to be righteous eh. Or you can be that person who look down on other person because of the righteous standing you have. But let me tell you this. In Isaiah 64, it says, we have all become like one who is unclean. Now allow me to share this with you. When Isaiah was writing, Isaiah is a prophet among prophets. In other words, he's the best among best there is. But he started saying, all of us, all including himself, have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like polluted garment. In other translation, it says filthy rugs. And you come to church with that mindset, okay kami ni God kasi I serve eh. I give my tithes. Let me remind you of this verse, that all the good things that you do, guess what? I'm no better than any of you. I am just like any of those people out there. If not for Jesus, who paid for my righteousness. And I hope and pray we get to understand why we do what we do. Because if we miss the heart behind the things we do, then sayang. We will just all be people gone by the wind. We will all be remembered the good person. But will God remember us? No. Because our heart was never connected to Him. It was never one with Him. Because we worship Him with our mouths, but our hearts are far from Him. We all fade like lift, and our iniquities, like the wind, takes us away. But I'm glad the verse didn't end here. It says, but now, O Lord, you are Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. You see, when we talk about the good things we do, sorry to say, it will never credit you to your righteousness that you want to. But Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid a high price for us to experience that righteousness. It is all because of Jesus, through Jesus, and we continuously live this life of righteousness for Jesus. Not for anyone else. Not for the public approval. Not for the church or for your leaders. God called you to live the right life because He wants you to experience Him in your everyday decision of honoring Him.